We're looking at the subject of prayer during these Sundays, and we're asking the Lord to shine the light of His Word on our prayer lives. That's really what we're asking for. Collectively, I mentioned last Sunday that we're asking for the Lord to make us here at Grace Baptist Church a people of prayer. And in order for us to see all that we need to see in God's Word about prayer, we're going to have to do something a little different during this series of messages. We're going to have to be willing to turn and look at various scriptures. Ordinarily, of course, we preach through books, and once you open a book, you're there for the most part of the sermon. We may ask you to turn to a place or two to see other scripture, but during these days where we go through this series of messages about prayer, we're going to have to be, as we worship the Lord, ready to turn. And so keep your fingers moistened and be ready to do that today. Let's open God's Word to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. It's one of the great chapters on prayer in the Bible. This is where Jesus taught specifically about prayer. There are some other chapters where that's true, and we're going to look at those. Some of those today we'll look at. We're calling this series of messages Prayer. What a privilege. What a privilege prayer is. And of course that comes from that old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And today's message we're calling this, Pray and Keep on Praying. That's the title of our message today. And to get us started, I want us to read verses 5 through 8. And Jesus is here instructing His disciples about matters related to prayer. And so let's see what the Scripture says here. These are the words of Jesus. He said, And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they might be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. Let's go to the Lord again in prayer before we begin this morning. Well, Father, we do thank You for the wonderful privilege of being able to gather in Your name and to be able to worship You. Lord, we worship You by singing these great hymns, but we also worship You as we give our attention to Your Word. And so now, Lord, I pray You would help us to do that. I pray You would give us focus. I pray that You would give us attentive minds, receptive hearts to what we see in the Scripture today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to see two things from the instruction of Jesus, and one of those things is here in these verses in Matthew chapter 6. And so I want you to just, if you're taking notes, there's two main points to the message this morning. And Jesus is here in these verses telling His disciples, plan to pray. When you look at the section here just in its entirety, that's really what Jesus is saying. He's saying, plan to pray. Now, one of the wonderful things about prayer is that you can pray anywhere, anytime, and in any posture. You don't have to be on your knees to pray. You don't have to be in any particular posture to pray. You don't have to be in any particular location. You can pray at home. You can pray in the car. A lot of times when we go places together, I'm the one driving, and Linda does a lot of praying during that time because I'm the one driving. But you can pray in many places. You know, sometimes as you go through the day, you may meet someone unexpectedly that you were not intending to meet, and you may just breathe a prayer to the Lord right at that moment. You'll say, Lord, let me be able to minister to this person, or let me speak a word of encouragement to this person. You may remember someone at some point during the day that you need to pray for. Maybe during your private time of prayer you forgot to pray for them, but the Lord reminds you, you can pray right at that moment. It's really just like keeping the line open all the time. Sometimes you remember you have a list of things and you're praying about those things and you pray in your private time about those kind of things. But then the Lord just reminds you as you go through the day. The Holy Spirit reminds you of things that you need to be praying about. And we all pray those kind of spontaneous prayers. As we walk through the day with the Lord, we pray spontaneously throughout the day. Life is busy, sometimes very hectic. Sometimes we're on the go, and we pray while we're on the go. We breathe prayers throughout the day to the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's good. That's a good thing to pray those kind of prayers. But the Lord seems to be saying here in these verses that we've just read, He's saying that there needs to be more to our prayer life than just praying while we busily go through the day. There needs to be those times of prayer where we get alone with the Lord and we have a deeper time of prayer. There's a time that is set apart in our life for prayer. Now, He says here, when you pray, in verse 5, and Jesus here just gives it as an expectation that we will pray, that we will do what it says here. And He is giving us the indication in this section that there's needs to be a time set aside in our lives where there's no one else around, at least not in the room that we're in, and where things are shut down and shut off, and where we're quiet before the Lord, and where we have time to spend alone with Him. And folks, I want to tell you, this seems really, in some ways, as we think about it and we preach about it even, it seems almost mundane. It seems like we're talking here about things that are very practical, and we are talking about something that's very practical. But don't mistake for one minute that this is not important. This is something Jesus set before us, and it is something that we need to make sure is a part of our life. You know, too often we settle for less than the best, don't we? A lot of times in life we'll just settle for what's less than what God absolutely has for the best in our lives. And here I think is we find something that we could give our attention to. There's a man by the name of Dr. John R.W. Stott. Some of you know the name John Stott. He was a pastor for 66 years at the same church in London, England. And during that time, he became very well known. He wrote a lot of books. He was really an author that was well known. I've read some of his books. One of the best books I ever read was a book that he wrote called Between Two Worlds. And he talks in that book about how the Scripture is from the day that was, the history, the things that we read, it's from the past. But there is the application that must be made in the present. And so as we read God's Word, yes, we see the history, we see what's here in the Word, we see what is recorded in God's Word, but there must be a time in our lives where we take that and apply it in our lives. And that's what we're doing by preaching this series of messages on prayer. But Dr. Stott made this, I ran across this quote from him, and I'd just like you to listen to what he had to say. He said, "I think one of my major concerns is the superficiality of so much Christian faith and Christian experience and Christian living all over the world." Now, he was a man who had traveled all over the world, and he saw how Christians were living in many ways. And he said, "We Christians are sometimes content to settle for something that is very shallow and isn't the full-orbed biblical Christianity that we see in the pages of the New Testament." And folks, when I read that quote, I want to tell you that it was like arrows that just went right to my heart. I began to say, "Lord, show me those areas where I'm settling for less than Your very best." And I believe if we were all just very honest, we would admit that when it comes to praying, oftentimes we settle for less than the best. We do pray on the go. We pray on the run. We move through life busy. Life's hectic pace. But let's just allow the Holy Spirit to challenge our hearts right at this moment. Do we set aside time in our lives? Do we plan to pray? Do we schedule prayer? Now, I do want to say this, that kind of praying will not just happen. If you're just waiting, and just think about this with me, if you're just waiting for that time when the house is quiet and the kids are quiet and their TV is not on and no one else is around trying to talk to you, if you just wait for that time to happen, it will very rarely happen in most homes. Would you say amen to that? It seems like there's always noise in the background in this world today. But what we need if we're going to live for Christ the way that we need to, and if we're going to pray the way that we need to, we are going to have time where we are alone with the Lord. And in order to have that, we must arrange it. We must plan how to have that in our lives. We must, as we said last Sunday, make it a priority in our lives. Now, there's three things that I want us to see this morning about planning to pray. And again, very practical, but also very spiritual. First of all, I want us to see where to pray, if we're going to have that time. Secondly, how long to pray. That's an interesting question that comes up here in this section. And finally, when to pray. And so let's talk about those three things for just a few minutes. First of all, where to pray. Look in verse 6. Jesus tells us. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room." It says in the Old King James, it says, "Go into your closet." In other words, closet yourself. Get alone. Find a place to get alone. A place where you can be alone with the Lord. "And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." As I said last Sunday, yes, there's other times where we pray. We pray in church. We call on people to pray, and they lead us in prayer. There is to be times where families gather in the home to pray. But what we're talking about right here is our personal prayer life where we are alone with God. And in order to make that happen, you may have to have the help of your family. You may have to let them know the time that you're going to set aside and where you're going to be and not to interrupt that time. It's going to be a time that you have established where you are alone with the Lord, and certainly your family is going to have to cooperate in the home if you're going to be able to have that private time. The second question is, how long do we pray? I think the Lord gives us an encouraging word here in verse, starting in verse 7. He says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for many think that they will be heard for their many words." And here he's talking really about praying in that room where you have gone to be alone with the Lord. You don't have to use a lot of words. And he says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him." Isn't that a wonderful statement from God's Word? The Lord knows the things that we have need of before we ever ask Him. Now, our prayers don't have to be that long, in other words, is what I'm saying. And I know that some of you here this morning, maybe, you know, you're just sort of a beginner in the school of prayer. And just to think about praying for any great length of time would be a great challenge for you. But I want to encourage you to do something this week, just something very practical. Just see if you can follow those first two steps that we've talked about. Find a place this week where you can be alone and set aside, it doesn't have to be a long time, just set aside 10 or 15 minutes just to be with the Lord and to spend time talking to Him. Just let it be what's on your heart. Just begin. You know, sometimes if you can just begin, it'll make all the difference in the world. And it doesn't have to be 30 minutes or an hour or any great length of time, but just begin to pray. Just pray. Just begin to pray and spend time with the Lord. I believe it'll make a great difference in your life if it's not something that you're doing already. You know, the Lord said that His burden is light. Prayer ought not to ever be a burden to us. It ought to be something that would be a joy and a delight for us to come into the Lord's presence. And here's what will happen. If you begin praying for 10 minutes a day, you may find after a little while, after you've exercised those muscles a little bit, you'll find that you're praying longer. You'll remember that we have more things to pray about, and you'll begin to pray and spend even more time. The third thing is when to pray. And if you look in verse 11, now we're going to come to the Lord's Prayer probably next Sunday. And so we're going to deal with this section down here where the Lord's model prayer begins. But if you look in verse 11, you get the indication here that this is at least, the Lord expects this to at least be daily. Give us this day our daily bread. And so as we pray, when to pray, it begins like this. We ought to at least have time set aside daily for prayer with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this. It says, pray without ceasing. And the idea there is that we pray without omission. We pray without missing time, letting days go by or even weeks go by without prayer. We're to pray daily. And folks, we shouldn't be too busy in our lives that we couldn't set aside time. God wouldn't ask us to do anything that we couldn't do. And here He says that we are to pray daily. But now as we look a little deeper in the Scripture, there's an indication that there are really two major times of the day where it's important to set aside some time. And I want us to see that in the life of Christ. And I want to ask you to turn and look at Mark chapter 1. Look in Mark chapter 1. And in the life of Christ, as we look at the life of Christ in the New Testament, we see that there are really two major times during the day where He set an example for us in prayer. And so look in Mark chapter 1 and look in verse 35. Mark 1:35, it says about Jesus, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Now, it says a great while before morning. It doesn't have to be that way for us. Now, some of you immediately, when you hear a great while before morning, you're throwing up stop signs and saying, I don't know if that's going to work in my life. But in order to have prayer time, you're going to have to find time sometimes where things are quiet. And usually one of the quietest times where you can have time alone with the Lord comes early in the morning, before the day begins, before your mind begins to wander onto all of the events of the day, the things that are going to take place in the day. And Jesus, throughout His ministry, set an example of praying in the morning. There's a number of places where it mentions that He prayed in the morning, before the day began. And then turn back to Matthew chapter 14. If you look in Matthew chapter 14, and look in verses 22 and 23. You see, this is where when we study just a little bit deeper into the Scripture, we begin to see a pattern. We begin to see what the Lord is teaching us even through His example. It says here in Matthew 14, 22, beginning in verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. Now, He'd had a very busy day on this particular day. A lot had happened on this day. You can read all about that in the context. But He sends the multitude away. He sends His disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake. And it says in verse 23 that when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And now when evening came, He was alone there. You begin to see the picture of how the Lord, even in the Lord's life, this was something that He did. We're going to talk later on in the series about why Jesus prayed. Why did Jesus need to pray? Did you ever think of that? He was the Son of God. He was God in human flesh. And yet, He set aside time every day, morning and evening, and all other times throughout the day, to pray. Now, I want to call something to your attention that's in the Psalms. You may not have noticed this before, and if you haven't, this would be good to for you to have an understanding of this. In the Psalms, there are two types of Psalms that are given. There are some Psalms that are what they call morning Psalms. They're Psalms to be read in the morning, and they're prayers to the Lord. And there are Psalms that are read in the evening. They are evening Psalms. And so morning and evening Psalms. Just for example, in Psalm chapter 3, you have what is called a morning Psalm. The very next Psalm, Psalm chapter 4, is an evening Psalm. Psalm chapter 5 is a morning Psalm. Psalm chapter 6 is an evening Psalm. And these are Psalms that speak about praying to God at that time of the day. Spurgeon, we all know about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he made this statement. He said, prayer should be the key of the day, and it should be the lock of the night. In other words, just like Jesus, there ought to be at least some time set aside to pray. It appears in Scripture that what the Scripture challenges us to do is come to a place to where we pray morning and evening, at least with some time set aside for the Lord. Morning, you look ahead to the day. You ask for the Lord's blessing on the day. You ask Him to help you. You may think of things that are going to come up that day where you will need His help. You'll need His guidance. You'll need His wisdom. You look ahead to the day and pray and ask for God's help. And in the evening, you look back on the day and you thank the Lord for His care and provision for the day. Do you ever just lay in bed at night at the end of a day, maybe a very busy day, very hectic day, and as you lay there, before you fall asleep, you just thank the Lord for His loving care and His provision for the day. Be thankful to the Lord at the end of the day. You know, the Bible says in the last days that one of the characteristics of people will be that they will be unthankful. They won't take time to thank God. And so we need to be careful that we are not asking God for things at the beginning of the day and then He answers our prayer and He's with us through the day and cares for us and sees us through the day, and then we forget to thank Him at the end of the day. We want to be people who pray morning and evening. You know, another great thing that you can do at the end of the day like that, you know, sometimes there are burdens on your heart and mind that will keep you awake if you don't take care of them right at that point. And so you can take your burdens to the Lord at that point. The things that are really heavy on your heart, the things that maybe would keep you up and keep you worried through the night. Some of you probably heard of the preacher R.G. Lee. R.G. Lee was the pastor up at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, back in the middle of last century. And he said what he would do at the end of his day is exactly what I'm talking about here. He said he had a tree in his front yard. It was a big oak tree with lots of limbs. And he said, I would just in my mind at the end of the day, he said, I would take those things that were on my heart and on my mind and that were burdening me. And he said, I would just take those things and pray about them, take them to the Lord. He said, and then I would hang them up. It's just a mental exercise that he had. He said, I would hang them up on one of the limbs of that oak tree. And he said, I wouldn't think about them again until the next morning when I left. He said, I'd take them back down sometimes then and take them back and have them on my heart and mind then. But he said he was able to sleep the sweet peace of the Lord through the night because he would take his burdens to the Lord and leave them there. David said in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, he said, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. And so I want to ask you first of all this morning, do you have a plan to make prayer a part of your day? Do you have a plan for that? Do you have a time that you can arrange for and set aside and a place that you can arrange for and set aside where you would pray? And so Jesus here, first of all, is teaching us to plan to pray. If it's going to happen in your life, you've got to plan. You've got to set aside that time in your schedule. But now to see the second major point of the message, I want us to turn over to Luke chapter 11. Turn to Luke chapter 11 with me. And the second thing that Jesus teaches us in His Word that we want to see this morning is here in Luke 11, and that is to persist in prayer. Persist in prayer. And if you'll look in Luke 11, and this is another great chapter where Jesus teaches about prayer, you'll notice just above verse 5, which is where we're going to read in just a minute, you see another, this is Luke's account of the model prayer, or of the Lord's prayer. What I want us to look at is starting in verse 5. And here's where Jesus talks about persistence in prayer and how we must persist in prayer. The things that we're praying about, we need to pray day after day about and continue to take them to the Lord. And it says here in verse 5 that He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.'" Now this is of course very specific to this time in life. It's something that probably wouldn't happen too often in our day, where we'd knock on somebody's door in the middle of the night and ask for loaves. If somebody does that today, they would say, "Well, you do know where the convenience store is down the street," and we'd send them on their way. But no, here's a picture of something that would happen, be very likely to happen in this day. And so the friend comes, and he says, "I have nothing to set before him," and he will answer him from within and say, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." Now, I was just joking a minute ago. If you come to my door in the middle of the night and you need bread, I'll get up and see what we've got, Brother Terry. But Jesus says here, He says, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Because of his persistence. In other words, there's a burden, there's a need that needs to be met, and he keeps asking, and he gives him because of his persistence. And then Jesus says this, and these are great, these next two verses are great verses of promise about prayer. He says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Folks, those are tremendous words of promise that we have here in God's Word. Great illustration of what it's like to continue in prayer, and then the promise of what God will do. Now the words there, you've probably heard this before, but the tense of those verbs is like this. It's ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And if you do that, God will answer that prayer. Now eternal things, spiritual things, are what is really in view here. From the entire context, we're talking about things that are really burdens of our heart. Spiritual matters, eternal matters. You know, I know right now in this room there are those who have lost loved ones. You might have a child that doesn't know Christ. You might have a friend who's never trusted Christ for salvation. And it's a burden of your heart, and you're praying, and you just continue to pray day by day throughout your life for the salvation of your loved one or for your friend. Or you may have something that's wrong in life, something that has, you've been wronged in some way, or something that needs to be set right. And you're praying about it. It's a great burden. It's something that is debilitating to you, maybe even. And you just lift it up before the Lord. Now, God has 3 answers that He gives to prayer. We find this throughout Scripture. He says yes. He answers some prayers. He says yes. Some prayers He answers immediately. Yes. Some prayers He answers no. And it's His will. We must resolve ourselves and reconcile ourselves to His will. We're going to talk about that as part of this series later on. But sometimes God's answer is wait. And so when that time comes and we're praying and we don't immediately receive the answer for our prayers, we're to continue praying. We're to continue this burden that God has put on our heart for these matters of prayer, we continue to lift these things up to the Lord. There's one other place I want to ask you to turn this morning, and it's also in Luke. It's over just a couple of pages in Luke chapter 18. This will be the last place we ask you to turn this morning. But here again is where Jesus is teaching on this same subject of persistence in prayer. And it says He spoke a parable to them in verse 1 that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.'" Now he's talking here about someone who's called an unjust judge. He doesn't care about God, he doesn't care about man, but yet he, because of the persistence of this widow woman, he gives what he asked for. And so by great contrast, now Jesus is not comparing God to this unjust judge, but in contrast to him, it says in verse 6, "The Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with Him? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily.'" And then there's that statement that we talked about last Sunday at the end of verse 8. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" And their faith is a parallel to people who are seeking Him in prayer. And again, what that's saying is that in the last days, now hear this, in the last days many will give up praying. Because of the afflictions and the troubles and the difficulties of the days that they're going through, because of the persecutions and the hardships and the judgment of the Lord that falls on this earth around believers, there are some people who will become discouraged and will just stop praying. But I want to say to us this morning, if we're going to be people of prayer, and if God has put people on our heart for their salvation, and if God has given us other spiritual burdens that we know are part of God's will from His Word, we need to not grow weary in taking those things to the Lord. There was a man by the name of George Mueller. How many of you heard of George Mueller, by the way? I figured quite a few of you had. George Mueller was the director of the Ashley Downs Orphanage in Bristol, England, back in the 1800s. And he wrote an autobiography. If you ever want to read a great book that is a faith builder, read the autobiography of George Mueller. Great faith-building book. But George Mueller had three childhood friends. And of course, George Mueller, at a very young age, came to know the Lord, but his friends did not. And George Mueller began to pray for the salvation of his three childhood friends. And folks, he prayed for 60 plus years. Every day, he said. He said not a day went by that he did not pray for the salvation of his friends. Years and years went by. There was no indication that anything different was going to happen. They had not trusted Christ. He stayed in touch with them. They had not trusted Christ. But at the last sermon, now listen to this, this is amazing, really. At the last sermon that George Mueller ever preached, the last time he was physically able to stand and preach, one of those friends that he had prayed for over 60 years in that worship service, at the end of that service, trusted Christ as his Savior. At the time of his death, which was a while later, several months later, at the time of his death, a second friend that had prayed, and George Mueller never knew that this friend was saved, but at the time of his death, a second friend trusted Christ. And then 2 months after his death, that third friend came to know the Lord. I know some of you in the room this morning, I'm looking out across the room, and I know, because I've known you, many of you, for so long, I know the burdens that you carry. I know the things that burden you down, that are on your heart, the things that you're praying about, the things that you're concerned about. It may be a lost child. I have a lost child. Linda and I have a lost child that we pray for every day. But I know some of your burdens, and you're praying about it. And the Bible says in the last days, many will stop praying. They'll give up praying. Their faith will come to the end of their faith as far as praying for these things. But what I want to say to you today is don't let that be you. Be a person who is willing to plan to pray and to set aside a place to pray and a time to pray and to spend time in prayer with the Lord. And if there's a burden on your heart, take it to the Lord every day. And you just pray and keep on praying. And we'll see what God will do. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we see, Lord, these very practical things in Your Word. And Lord, it challenges our hearts. We know that there is room for improvement in our prayer lives. And Lord, even just looking at these very technical things about prayer, these very practical things about prayer, it challenges us to look at our lives and to ask these questions. Have we planned to pray? And are we persistent in prayer? Lord, we can't do anything without You. Apart from You, we can do nothing. So, Lord, what we really need, what each of us needs this morning, is for You to do a fresh work in our hearts that would draw us to You. Lord, we know it's said in Your Word, in the Scripture that has been read today, if we'll draw near to You, You'll draw near to us. But Lord, the reality of it is we need You to draw us near to You. We need You to do a work that would make us a people of prayer. People who walk with You. A people who depend upon You. A people who align our lives according to Your will. And a great deal of that is accomplished in prayer. And so, Lord, we ask You to work that in our lives today. And then, Lord, I do want to pray. If there's someone here who's not trusted You, they've never come to You for the salvation that is available through Jesus Christ. And Lord, today I pray that You would do that work that only You can do, and that You would draw them all the way to saving faith today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.